down the other night. Outdoor First Baptist Podcast. Today's ask for the group bad. I'm Jake Allen from the Baptist. The question, joined as usual, my co-host, a man who makes waffle fries in his air fryer and who has an air fryer because he's a bougie son of a bitch. It's Ivietti.
It was a wedding gift, but yeah. Hello.
Yeah, well, of course it was a wedding gift. What did I give you for a wedding gift?
Some beer? Stock to United Airlines.
I mean, that would have been nice had I done it at the time.
It would have. You gave me money, and I appreciated it.
I didn't expect you to actually sincerely answer that.
Oh, well, I mean, you were pausing, so I was like, do I have to answer? I guess I'll answer.
No, never. Sincerely answer any question I ask you. That's one of the rules of the show, Si.
He gave me $100,000.
What does your butt smell like?
Very kind friend. What does my butt smell like?
Don't sincerely answer that, please.
I wasn't planning on that one.
Answer it insincerely.
All right, it smells like this beer that I'm drinking. I have the beer farts.
I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Well, listen, my man, I'm having a great time. I took my son to the library tonight, our public library that is new and nice, or that was like built during the pandemic.
Are you trying to say that your child's son reads better than I do?
Yes. But so I took him to the library and I put a mask on him, and instantly he was picking his nose. no sooner than the mask went on did he start picking his nose. And I was like, couldn't you have done this before I put a mask on you?
I love that. I probably showed you this photograph before, but my middle nephew my second nephew, he had his first birthday, and there was a group of people around him, and this was pre-COVID, but there's a group of people around him taking a picture of him, you know, going at the cake, because that's what you do at child's birthday parties, especially the first birthday party. You let him go nuts on the cake, right? So there's a group of people all standing around him taking photographs of him, and he decided to put his finger in his nose while all these people were trying to take a photo.
My son's almost four and a half now, and he just, like, we were walking in, and then you have to like sign in and give your phone number and name in case anyone has COVID, you know, whatever. And so we're like signing in, and he's just like locking eyes with the woman at the front desk with his finger in his nose. Just like, he has no sense that this
honestly,
is not a thing to do.
That's a veteran move.
It's a power move, honestly. Yeah. Like in that situation, it's like he's like, I am a C-suite executive and you work at a library. That's what he was saying to her.
He was like, my dad flexes on people by driving to their house and drinking Baja Blast Mountain Dew. On people by picking my nose and looking them dead in the eye.
Making them uncomfortable. Yeah, it's good. It was a real nice move by him. I really appreciated that. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking Blue Comet by Widowmaker Brewing out of...
Ooh, Blue Comet. As you know, of course, the penultimate episode of The Sopranos.
Yeah, sure. Still haven't seen that show. And I thought about it the other day, and I'm like, should I watch Sopranos so I understand everything?
Does it have a train on it? On the beer can? There's no train on it?
No, it's a...
There's no, like, model trains on it?
It's a Blue Comet.
Is there a series of Italian guys with leather gloves on?
No.
Okay.
Well, I just turned the can around to double check.
Damn. All right.
No Italian guys on my can.
I'm not going to do any spoilers here.
What are you drinking, Chid? Because you get mad at me when I don't also...
Yeah, I do get mad when you don't reciprocate, you son of a bitch. I'm drinking a nice can of tomato juice. It's delicious. And my vitamin C and E are great.
Is this a place where I can be honest?
Yeah.
You drink the weirdest shit at night.
I drink the weirdest shit all the time. I'll drink anything. I mean, I
agree that you will drink anything, but like for the podcast, like you drink glasses of milk and now you're drinking tomato juice.
I drink
juice at
a bottles of milk.
Night.
Well, listen, yeah, I want to get my vitamins. I don't want to chew a vitamin. I don't want to eat a vitamin. Did I tell you that I had like a performance vitamins that I got through Instacart when I wasn't, before I was vaccinated and I wasn't going out ever?
No, but what's a performance vitamin?
It was like Centrum or whatever, like Centrum
Centrum
Professional
Silver.
Edge. No, it's not Centrum Silver. That would have probably been better. But it's like, it says like elite performance vitamin or
something.
Does
that have caffeine in it?
I don't even know, but here's what it does have in it is I don't eat breakfast ever. I like will wake up and drink coffee and not eat anything until 12, 1, 2 in the afternoon.
Is that why you're so pleasant to deal with in the morning?
Yes. I just don't really bother with breakfast because, like, I like eating breakfast, but I feel like I don't need it. And, you know, if I don't eat anything, then I won't be hungry. You know what I mean? Like, if I eat a banana, then I'll be starving at lunchtime. But if I eat nothing, then I'll remain not hungry.
That's definitely probably how hunger works, is if you don't eat anything, then you won't be hungry.
I should probably extend that for, like, 6 weeks and just see how it goes for me. But anyway,
just not eat for 6 weeks.
Yeah, just like see if I get hungry, like, or you know,
that's a little past intermittent fasting, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's not no longer intermittent. It's
a Gandhi mitten level.
It's mitten fasting. Mitten. Anyway, but yeah, I don't eat anything at breakfast, and I was taking these vitamins and stuff, and I would take like normal vitamins, but then I started taking these Pro Edge vitamins. And one day, the first day I took one on an empty stomach, and all I had to drink was coffee and like a emergency packet and some apple cider vinegar. And like within 20 minutes of taking it, I was like, oh, I'm going to throw up. This is weird. And I had no idea why. And I like was
hold on. I was
getting my kids in the car ready for the day. And I just threw up all over the place.
Wait. You put that combination of things into your body and then you had to throw up and you had no idea why?
Yeah, I didn't know why. I mean, apple cider vinegar, you drink some of that, you have an emergency, preferably a citrus flavor, not a raspberry one. Those are gross.
Okay.
And then also a vitamin and some cold brew, and then you drink it and then you go about your day.
Jesus. I don't know how your stomach lining hasn't like.
I think all of those things are good for your. Well, not the emergency so much, but the
cold brew coffee. You're going to tell me that that's good for your?
Yeah,
stomach?
It's good for you. Keeps you regular. Keeps you running. It's like that song.
Keeps you running.
Yeah, and also, but yeah, I came out and said, I had to throw up, so I, you know, like you try to get to a toilet. I like had just finished putting my kids in the car. I went back inside to get something. And I was like, oh, I'm going to throw up. I'm not going to make it to a toilet. So I just ran back outside and threw up over my front porch into the bushes.
In front of your kids?
Yes, they were in the car. There was like someone walking his dog. It was great.
I'm not
this guy's a mess.
I'm not a parent, but I wouldn't want to vomit in front of my kids. I don't want to show them that sign of weakness that daddy doesn't know how to take a vitamin while he's eating on an empty stomach.
Well, it was good because it was an empty stomach, so it was like the most pleasant vomit you could ever have.
It was very citrusy.
Yeah, it was like citrusy, but also coffee-like. So it was like an acid and a base together. It was very neutral. It was very pleasant.
Your pH levels are probably terrible.
No, I use Secret. It's pH balance for a woman. Strong enough for a man, but pH balance for a woman.
All right.
Today's guest is here to talk about BugCon, Big Brother, probably throwing up, and also maybe Secret. You may know him from season 15 in 2013 of Big Brother, a season that aired, one episode aired the night that I was married. Wow. I did the research on that.
I didn't watch it because I was at your wedding.
Yeah, sure. That's why you didn't watch it. He's here to talk about many things. He's our friend. He's your friend. It's McCray.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
How you doing?
Oh, living the dream. I always say that. Living the dream. It's just the stock answer. I'm sorry about that. It's already given stock answers out of the gate.
Give me some stock tips instead. What do you think we should be buying right now?
I'm investing in a company called Tencent. It's not a very good company ethically, but man, I think they're going to make money. That's legit. That's a legit tip for you.
That's the,
check that out on my Robinhood
distributor
right now.
Of sports in Asia, correct? Or in China specifically?
They do like everything. They've got real estate, they've got esports, video games, like their fingers are in everything, and that's what I like about it is they got their fingers in everything.
Is that
not a good company, but
is their logo like the Dutch boy logo with his finger in the dam?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. But yeah, think about Tencent. No, I don't know.
I'll think about it. Sai, I know you're big into fingering, so I know that probably rung your bell.
I thought you were going to say that I'm big into investing because I need an investment this week, but you just went right there.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
What'd you invest in? Oh, sorry.
No, same question. How is your investment doing, Sai?
It's good. We're up today. I have a couple small stocks, as in I didn't have a lot of money to invest, so I just bought like percentages of shares because just to mess around with it. I wanted to see what it was like. Mm-hmm. This week I bought $50 worth of Dogecoin.
Ooh,
because it's going all right. It started the week. $50 got me 136 shares. And it started the week in the high 20s, and I think it's like 36 or 37. So I'm thinking maybe if we keep going, we'll be able to get it up to a dollar.
Si, which wallet are you using for that?
Robinhood.
Oh, you bought it on Robinhood. Okay, and what's your secure wallet passphrase for that?
69420.
No, it's definitely longer than that. It's pretty involved.
Oh, well, I don't know it then. I'm not going to be able to log in and trade my stock.
Well, anyway, I applaud you for your investments.
Chid, what's the password for the rounding down Twitter?
I don't know. I have no idea what any of the passwords are. I have them all in like a password manager, but I don't know.
Is that a notepad on your desktop?
Yeah, it's a password manager. It's a Word document that says passwords.
You and my mom.
And what's my password for my computer? Why? It's password.
Excellent.
You guys were talking about throwing up in front of your kids. I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, I wouldn't mind it, and I think it'd be like a little bit of a show of dominance, and I think I would do it often, you know? Okay. I'm a bit of a drinker. I like drinking, and, you know, with that comes the territory of you're going to be throwing up. I think I'm pretty good at throwing up. I don't know. I think I would just be like, check this out, kids.
Are you drinking anything right now?
What'd you say? Could I?
Are you drinking?
No. Don't turn this into a throw-up challenge podcast.
Well, when you were talking about all that stuff in your stomach, I was like, oh, that's giving me a little bit of a, like, oh, that sounds terrible. Or it's like, right. Man, if someone talks about spitting in someone's mouth, I can throw up probably. You know, like, just like, if as graphic as you can get, like, I can make myself throw up pretty well. I am drinking. It's a Founders All Day IPA. Excellent. Yeah, I don't know. It's all right.
Girl Wonder recently told me on the Twitter that they have some bad ethics in that company.
Mm. I believe it. Again, I, like same with Tencent. You know, the ethics of a company is I'm very concerned about the ethics of a company, but at the same time, it's like 15 cans for like $16. It's just like, oh, that's a stupid deal. I'm sorry. I'm poor. I'm so
hard. If you haven't yet, Sierra Nevada, hazy little thing. You can get like 12 packs for like $14, and it's a very delicious IPA for the price.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Sierra Nevada's Cy's favorite brewery, as we
I see.
It's not my favorite brewery, but
I talk about them on the show all the time, Cy.
This drink would be like often. Can I finish? Damn.
What else do they make? What's their like most famous? Because I know I've had it for sure.
The Torpedo is
pretty, yep.
And they do like, in Thanksgiving time, they do, Dankful and, all sorts of like hoppy things. Very hoppy.
Yeah. I kind of like that a little bit more. I feel like I'm starting to think like, man, maybe I should be a lager guy, which I fucking hate lager, but, can we curse on here? I don't know.
Yeah. You can do whatever you want. Please.
But like, I think like, I don't know. Like, I just don't. The problem is with these is like, I just drink and then I get hammered really fast and then I can't stop drinking.
You probably should be a lager guy then.
so you can drink for longer
and then you're not super hammered.
Yeah.
That's what they say. They say, if you want to drink longer, drink lager. If you want to get hammered, drink.
Slammers.
Yeah, that's the saying.
Isn't that the large thing that you would throw on pogs?
If you want to get hammered, drink those. Those will fill up your belly real quick. They're mostly made of brass and nickel. Oh man! Speaking of nickel, McCray, do you have a nickel allergy?
I don't. Not that I'm aware of, but I mean, we could probably induce it. I mean, if we wanted to get in there, you know, like that could be like something cool, exclusive. McCray suffers from nickel poisoning.
Yeah,
live
it's
on
tough.
Our show.
Yeah. That sounds awful.
Si, do you have a nickel allergy?
I don't have any sort of material or food allergies. I am only allergic to the springtime. All of my allergies are based on like dust and pollen and like ragweed and stuff like that. But no, latex allergies or anything like that.
Got it. Well, yes, latex and nickel are the two things that I always say remind me the most of one another. But here's the thing about either of those.
I was talking about materials, but fuck off.
But yeah, and we're living in a material world, and yeah, I am a material girl. Yeah, that's what I always say. But those are things that are tough to have allergies to, specifically nickel, because I didn't have a nickel allergy for a long time, and then when I was like 19, suddenly I had a nickel allergy.
Is it tough because you're a dad and you carry around a lot of change in your pocket?
Yes. Yeah. It's that's what makes it tough. Is yes.
Is this real right now? Are you not fucking with us? I don't know.
No. It's real. Here's how this manifests: is most belt buckles are made of nickel. So if you are wearing a belt that's like and you have a nickel allergy, you just end up with like a horrific like welt around your midsection.
It's 2021. It's time to stop wearing ornate belt buckles.
I mean, this was when I was 18, so that was actually specifically the time when I honestly think my problem was my belt buckle wasn't ornate enough at that point. Because had I been wearing
that was the problem.
A more ornate belt buckle, it never would have happened. But yeah, and then I had to switch to like woodworking belts and other weird belts that don't
woodworking
have
woodworking
like
belts.
Yeah, a woodworking belt. It's like
what the fuck is that?
It's like a belt where you have like there's like a notch. It's like notches. So the point of a woodworking belt is if you're a carpenter, you won't like scuff up whatever you're working on. So sometimes people who do like auto detailing wear those too. But anyway, I digress.
That's smart.
Yeah. So they make them, and it hides the metal part, so it doesn't rub against your skin.
When I googled woodworking belt, tool belts came up, and it's like you can put a lot of stuff in there. Is that the same?
Yeah, it's the same as that. But yeah, I don't know. Nickel allergy. It's rough. I have to say.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. Do you have any other allergies to any other precious metals?
No other precious metals that I'm aware of. But I am certainly allergic to the music of a certain band called Metallica.
Oh, fucking garbage. Get it out of here. I agree. Well, 1,000%. I'm sorry. Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I apparently have more allergies than I ever imagined, and that is a thing that I don't know. I'm not allergic to a lot of foods or anything, but it occurs to me that there are many things that make me sick. I guess the same is true for Psy.
Hey, Chip. So,
yeah.
When you did your Metallica allergy test, did you do a panel so you could figure out if you were allergic to a specific part of Metallica?
So they did the scratch test, and they put one hole for And Justice for All, and one hole for Kill 'Em All, and one hole for Master of the Puppets, and one hole for Load, and one for Reload. And it's kind of like I'm a little bit less allergic to like And Justice for All and Master of the Puppets. But it's like it's weird because I'm very allergic to Kill 'Em All, and I'm very allergic to Reload. But like there's a middle section there where I'm like not as allergic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think you should get retested.
You think so?
Well, your body changes. So every 7 years, your allergies are different. So I don't know when you had that test done.
Yeah, is that real?
They say that, but I don't think it's. I don't think it's really real. I don't know.
It's real. My mom said it, and she's a nurse.
Yeah, of course, I believe everything nurses say. The truth is that I think that maybe you get worse. I think they can only get worse. I don't think anyone's allergies. I don't think anyone's ever like, I'm not allergic to tomato anymore. And I'm
severe allergy, but if you have a light, like let's say you have a light allergy to like ragweed, those symptoms can lessen to the point where you're no longer really allergic to it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. Thanks, right. Mr. Science.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what my friends call me, and you're my friend, so thank you.
I do call you Mr. Science. McCray. Yes. You were a contestant on Big Brother, yes, season 15, I believe. I was correct about that, right?
Yep. Yes.
So, okay. What can you do for my mom this Mother's Day? A big fan of the show.
Is she really? Is that, I think you said that before, and I was like, yes. I would literally, like, so, like, my, like, when I came off the show, like, there was a huge, like, fandom, or, you know, like, it's very weird, but there is a huge fandom for people that are on Big Brother. When I came out, like, my dad was like, oh, yeah, you should go to this printing shop, like, do a little meet and greet out front of that, they'll print up a bunch of cast photos for you, you can take those cast photos, then you can sign them, give them out to people. So, literally, in my trunk of my car, I have, like, a stack of probably just, like, 500 cast photos from 2013 still.
Can you please sign one and send it to us so we can frame it and put it up?
on our Hall of Fame guests section.
It's like weirdly partially pathetic and also weirdly just, I don't know. But like, so when I came out, originally before I went on the show, I was a pizza delivery boy. When I came back, I did pizza delivery for a little bit just for the fun of it. And plus, like, it's a small town. But like every once in a while, a customer would be like, "Holy shit, you're McCray, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "Wait a second, I got a little something for you." I'd run out there, I'd fucking like sign up a little, you know, nice. Thing for him, give it to him.
And flexing
like,
on him.
Well, it like, and the reason I got on the show was because I had a gimmick, and my gimmick was basically like, I'm the best pizza boy there ever was. Like, what I do is I go outside, I scope out their house. You know, you see some sports teams or something, you know, I live in Minnesota, so they might be a Vikings team or a Vikings fan. So I go up to their front door and I say, "Oh, the dang Vikings did great," or, you know, like, and I would just like talk about how I would try to manipulate people for better tips. Basically, if it's cold out, you shiver extra hard. So like they were like, "Oh, this guy is crazy. Like, this is a weird gimmick we've never heard before." So I think like me signing autographs, like, it was a partially a little bit of me being like, maybe they'll give me an extra tip a little bit. But the thing is that once people see that you're on TV, they think like you're rich for whatever reason.
Yeah,
it's like, no, I'm so damn poor. I am so poor. But yeah, I love it. I was a Big Brother fan before all this, and so I always think like it does seem pathetic, but at the same time, like, if I ever met a Big Brother alumni and they just were like, "Here you go, here's a signed autograph," you know, it'd blow my mind. I would think they're a really cool person, I guess. So I think like, yeah, I'm trying to make people's days, I guess. I don't know.
That's so cool. No, it's not stupid. I think that's very sweet. I mean, the thing that's funny about that is, like, I do think that there's a, yes, certainly people think that everyone they see on TV is rich, and I also think that people have no comprehension of how little you get paid for being on reality TV.
Oh, yes. Very, like, I'll tell you, I got paid, I was in the house for 84 days. I was in sequester.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah, what?
So, I've never seen an episode of Big Brother.
Okay,
I apologize.
No, you haven't? So, well, I'm leaving the show. Yeah,
no, that's fine. That's fine. We'll talk about you in your absence. But what I was curious, because I was reading the Wikipedia, you came in fourth, so you were like on the show for the fourth longest before you got. Is that
technically,
right?
Technically,
okay.
Yeah. At a certain point, everyone goes to a jury house. So everyone's still in sequester with the finalists, basically. So although I wasn't on the show the whole time, I was still in sequester, which means you can't talk to your family. You can't call your family. There's no outside communication with the world. No news, no TV, no book. Or you could have books and DVDs, I guess. But like, that's basically.
I have a bunch of DVDs that my wife keeps asking me to get rid of. Do you need any DVDs?
Yeah, I'll take them. That's
In case you go back for a Big Brother All Star reunion, or give me your DVDs. Yeah. Also, Sleeves can hook you up with a lot of DVDs. If you know what I mean.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
So you were saying you were there for 84 days, and you were like, you were also sequestered. You were there for the whole duration.
Yeah. So like,
of the show.
I mean, overall, like, I was gone for well over 100 days, and that's, like I said, 100 days of not talking to your family, 100 days of not knowing what the you know what's going on in the real world.
Sounds kind of nice.
It is very, very nice, but like, you know, there was house guests that had to go in during Trump, you know, or like, I don't know how you guys feel, probably, but like, to me, it's just like, man, I'd be worried about what's going on in the world outside of it. I mean, like, notable for during our season, James Gandolfini actually died while we were in the house.
Oh yeah, so, that's right.
So it's one of those things where it's like, depending on who dies in the summer, you know, Big Brother house guests don't even know. Like, when Michael Jackson died, there was a group of house guests in the house that like basically did not know that Michael Jackson died till they came out. And then you just get inundated with like craziness of like, "Oh, did you know this happened? Did you know this?" Like, "Oh yeah, Michael Jackson's dead. Did you know that?" Like, what? Like, what is happening? It's very, it's overwhelming, very overwhelming. But
so that leads me to a business idea, and this is a thing I'm going to pitch to you, McCray. I know you have inroads there at Big Brother still.
Yep. Oh yeah.
We haven't gotten to the exact financial number attached to being there for over 100 days. And I don't know that this is actually going to be a business that makes a lot of money per se. Mm-hmm. But I firmly believe that if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
Absolutely.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a business called Gap Filler, where I show up.
Pornography?
Yeah, sleeves.
I show up. Involved? Hang on, guys. Guys, I don't like these dirty thoughts. I'm saying I show up when people come out of the house and I'm there and I'm the first person they see and I just go, hey, did you know that this happened? Hey, did you hear about this plane that crashed? Hey, did you hear about this? And I basically yell things at them as if I'm the press and they're at a press conference and I make them feel uncomfortable and annoyed, but that way they get it all out of the way really quickly. And then they can return to their normal lives and be caught up on everything they've missed in the real world.
Well, I've got the one problem with that is you have to communicate that you already told the house guest everything to, and then you have to tell the whole world that, like, don't even bother asking them about this because you've already asked it, you know, I've already got that covered. Like, check out this video right here. You know, like the problem is that, like, literally to this day, I had a showmance in the house. To this goddamn day, people will still be like, are you with that Amanda girl? You know,
going to be my next question if you fucked in the Big Brother house.
I did because, fuck. Yes, go on.
You did or you didn't?
I absolutely did. And like, this is very crass and like, this is just braggy and dumb, but I'm almost positive
would she be upset if you told someone on a podcast that you had sex with her on?
No, Amanda's insane. Like, she was like an actress kind of, or in the comedy scene. Like, supposedly she always said that, like, John Lovitz loved her. Like, he was obsessed with her. And
Her. So you and John Lovitz are Eskimo brothers?
She never said that she fucked him, but if I had a guess, I think that I might be Eskimo brothers with John Lovitz.
Yes. John Lovitz is the best part of A League of Their Own.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty great. I love that voice. He's also like the radio in Brave Little Toaster. Basically the same role, right?
Wait, yes. So Amanda Zuckerman is the person that you had sex with?
Yeah.
What? Wow.
Good pull. Good pull.
Dear God. Okay. I mean, here's the thing is I want to go back about four steps there before most of that stuff and just say that Cy finds a way to work in his love of A League of Their Own into almost every episode of this show.
Love that.
De facto A League of Their Own and Britney Spears podcast.
I didn't bring up John Lovitz. It happened organically.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You just had to League of Their Own it. Yeah, the Six Degrees of League of Their Own. That's what this show is.
It's a great movie.
I mean, listen, we all know that Tom Hanks, when he says the guy looks like a little penis, it's it's funny and everyone enjoyed it, especially me when I was six or whatever when I saw that movie in theaters.
Wow, so you saw it before it came out. That's impressive.
I don't know when it came. What year did that come out? 92?
92, yeah.
Wow. How did I guess that on the dot? Estimator strikes again. So I was seven. Oh, forgive me.
Well.
All right. So here's the thing. Sorry, McRae. So you're saying people still to this day ask you if you're with Amanda.
Yes.
That's a wild thing to ask anyone, especially someone you've just met.
Well, and they think they know you, you know, or like they. Okay. So the thing is that Big Brother is a thing that's 24/7. It's live out on the internet. Like, it's being broadcast to the internet. So people that have nothing to do for 24/7 are usually the people that, like, moth to the flames, or they're the ones that want to watch it. But that's the thing is, like, we are all in this house bullshitting with each other, like having conversations, like relating to each other. But then there's this weird observer that is also watching. But, you know, with people on the internet, you know, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, this is a person I know now. Like, this is a person that it's very weird and one-sided, like the relationships that develop with the Big Brother community and the alumni. So it's very like, yeah, if you're saying like, oh yeah, I can't believe people don't have like self-awareness to not ask a question like that. It's like, oh yeah, that's the Big Brother community as a whole is like just completely unaware of how crazy they are, I guess.
I can't relate to that at all, though, because I do think that podcast fans are completely normal and never do that. They also won't, for example, go up to someone they don't know and ask them if they can suck their own dick or, you know, or whatever sort of thing.
Yeah. Create an alternate account that harasses many people over many days. Yeah. No, I've never seen anything. Yeah. No, absolutely.
There's something about like people when you hear someone's voice enough or when you hear, I think it's just like the aggregate of spending enough hours with someone, because I don't think people are exactly the same way with fictionalized TV shows or shows that are like a half hour or whatever. I think it's like you have to spend over, I'll just name a random number, 40 2 hours listening to someone before you're like, oh, I know this person. I feel like I know them.
I believe it. And the other thing about it is, like, there's the, I mean, it's right in the title, reality TV. Like, for whatever reason, people think, like, oh, I'm getting an extra slice of reality. It's like, yeah, I was really McRae when I was there, but also I knew that the cameras were on me all the time.
Yeah, of course.
That, like, they're, like, I've had alumni get pissed off at me when I'm like, oh, yeah, that was the character you played. Like that's not a character, bro. I was real. And it's like, yeah, I mean, shut up. Like, of course. Like, but at the same time, like, come on. You're a character. Like,
yeah, everyone wears a – I mean, that's like the – mask, that's, of course. You're wearing a mask, yeah. We're all wearing masks all the time. And that's the thing about podcasting is the same way where you're not – you're revealing a certain element of your personality or your life or whatever, which isn't to say that, like – you're not being a version of your authentic
truthful
self.
Or, yeah, yeah, exactly.
But everyone, like, has to be, you have to be somewhat selective about what you're willing to share with the world or with your audience or whatever, because there are certain things that are not, I mean, if you're a person with boundaries at all, like, you're not going to be a person who's comfortable having, you know, a certain amount of stuff out there.
Well, and the tough part, oh, go on, sorry.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
I was going to say the tough part is, like, on a show like Big Brother is, like, well, you go in knowing you're not going to have boundaries because it's, like, there's a camera in the toilet, you know? Like, you kind of have to go there being, like, oh, yeah, there's no boundaries. But then when you come out, everyone expects there to be, like, still no boundaries and still, like... You know, you can. It's really tough for people to go back to, like, a normal quiet life, I guess, because people will still come up to you and be like, blah, 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 or, you know, and which is fine for a lot of people. But, like, Big Brother altogether is traumatic. Like, it's basically a psychological experiment designed to traumatize people and push them to their limits, basically, you know. So it's like, oh, yeah, like, so many people come out with trauma, and, like, I don't want to bring this down, but, like, it's real. Like, I the exploitation of reality contestants is something that I'm so fucking passionate about because I think it's insane. Like, I think that, you know, eventually in maybe 10 years in the future, we'll look back, 20 years probably, we'll look back and be like, wow, it's crazy that we, like, put reality television on, like, basically new gladiator battles and, you know, thumbs down people. Like, I honestly think that we'll look back and be like, wow, that was pretty fucked up we all did that, and, like, everyone accepted it, you know. That's my little tirade, but
no,
back to
sense.
Amanda. Yeah, I fucked her everywhere in that house. We basically fucked in every single... No, I think I actually have the record of having the most sex in the house.
Most fucks?
Yeah. I basically... we almost had sex in every single room of the house, I guess.
What stopped you?
I like, me, basically. I was constantly like, man, my mom's watching. Like, please stop, Amanda. And it was, yeah, Amanda's Amanda. No, I don't know. It was
so, yeah. McRae, I was reading a news article, mm-hmm. Where I get most of my news.
Smart.
BigBrotherAccess.com. And it was talking about your breakup with Amanda. Oh.
Yeah.
This is an article from 2014.
Yeah.
It was talking a little bit about how you said you were definitely too young to get married and get engaged, and there's a big Twitter war, and you were just tweeting about how Philip Seymour Hoffman had passed away, the joy of being back home, and your love of Scott Pilgrim songs. Is this scenario where she called into the radio station after you had been interviewed, is it really as dramatic as they're making it sound? Was this a real, like, piece of drama that was happening, or is this something that's exaggerated?
No, I mean, in the Big Brother world at that time, this was, like, big time drama. Of, like, there was, like, a bunch of crazy stuff. Like, I, like, expressed my love to my ex-girlfriend that I was, like...
Yeah, there's another article that says you love your ex.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. It's fucking bizarre. No, it was, like, real drama. There was, like, factions of fans that came out during our season. There was the McRanda Mafia. Me and Amanda were McRanda. And then they called themselves the Mafia. And then there was, like, another person on our season called, like, Alyssa. And she had her little army or whatever. And
when you guys split battle. Up... When you guys split up, were there Team McRae and Team Zuckerman?
Basically, that's exactly what happened, is the McRanda Mafia splintered, and then, like, people went with me. It's fucking insane. And, like, it's crazy that you bring it up, because it's like, man, that was such a distant memory. But it was, like, it was the biggest drama in the alumni world and Big Brother world for a little bit. But yeah, once that new season hits, oh, it's great. You just like, bye, see you later. Like,
forget don't have it to, all.
Yeah. Well, and exactly. Everyone forgets you. It's
so what I'm taking from this article, and I feel like based on what you're saying to me, is that the last paragraph of the article that's talking about you being too busy on Twitter talking about the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman is really how you feel about, you know, that whole scenario and how it went down.
That is the weirdest thing. Like, that's so weird that they mentioned those two things. Like, I couldn't even pinpoint when I what did I even say? Like, rest in peace, champ, or something, you know? Like, what the fuck would I even say where it's just like, well, you know, he's really, like, signifying the loss of a relationship and, you know, loss of innocence, really. That's what McCoy's talking about when he talks about it, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like, like, Big Brother people are insane. You know, the bug community, I really like, or, like, I don't know what you guys call it yourselves, I guess, or, like, the...
Chid and Sai.
Okay. I was way confused, yeah.
He's Chid, I'm Sai.
People can't tell us apart. He's Chid.
But, you know, like, you guys, like, sometimes the group collective has, like, you know, hiccups and whatnots and stuff like that. But it's just, like, this group is just so much, it's so refreshing compared to the insanity and pure toxicity of the Big Brother fandom. And, yeah, I don't know. That's why I really like it here. And I like hanging out with all you guys and bullshitting. Just because, like, yeah, the Big Brother fandom is, like, a whole nother beast that is scary. Very
Have you have any of those? Because I know you have a fairly big Twitter following from your big brother infamy. Have any of those worlds intertangled? Like, has anyone from the Big Brother things seen you interacting with people from the bug cult, and they're like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Has there been any
overlap?
Definitely. You know, there's like a house guest from like maybe 2 years ago who she was very big into like conspiracy theories, and I was like trying to bug pill her like really hard. And then there's like a bunch of like the alumni that I talk to are the alumni that I talk to. Basically, I'm always like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna go do this award ceremony for this cult I'm in. And like the thing about me is basically they just take it in stride. They just know it's me, and they're just like, oh yeah, like that, it checks out, it's McCray. Like so it's very odd. But I mean, like the other side of that basically, which is weird, is like different people being like, oh, what the fuck, McCray's in the bug cult. Max Mayer was like a big one, of him being like, I fucking love you, dude, what the fuck, like him going crazy, like love him. Alex, Fred, Doc, you know, like there's like closet Big Brother fans in this community that have reached out and been like, oh dude, what the fuck, like, you know. So it's that part is the part that I love the most, where I'm like, oh fuck yeah, like I've got other people that I can talk to about my weird secret love
we
Big
just
Brother. But
we just had Alex Fred on.
Yeah, we did. Oh, really? He was on the episode that came out today. But yeah, as of record time, this episode's coming out.
And we had Max Mayer on.
Yeah, also very recently.
Yeah, two great, great dudes. Love both of them. I don't know. That's the weird part to me, where it's like, oh, when someone knows me from the community, like, because I like to, it sucks because it's like, well, why does McCray have a blue check mark? Or, you know, like, we got the weird Niles Crane fucking icon and shit. Like, I I'm trying to be anonymous. Like, I want to get to anonymity, but I need more booze.
Glad we had someone on who pronounces words as well as I do.
I like it. I think it's good, and I appreciate it.
But yeah, that's the thing. Is like, it's nice to like not be Big Brother McCray, I guess, because in the Big Brother community, people hate me because, I don't know, I just don't care about that. Because
you fucked in every room in the house and you made.
I mean, that's
for
that
everybody.
Definitely helps. I mean, my season is the racist season. Like, we made New York Times headlines.
I actually vaguely remember like coming off of my honeymoon and hearing about this and being like, what? And so, yeah, can you explain your season? You had a couple of people who seemed like real shitheads, no?
Yeah, there's at least two, and there's obviously more. But just basically people that, like, you know, one girl was super young, which is an excuse, but, like, you know that she was, like, the most popular girl in school and basically got popular by, like, repeating what other, like, just shitty people said, I guess. So like basically, yeah, just a lot of people were shitty in the house. And like, I'm a person that I knew what the show was. I knew that the cameras were always watching, and I knew how the fan base would react. And I constantly, literally every time I heard something, would try to be like, you can't say that. Like, you cannot say that. Like, they're going to murder you out there. Do not say that stuff. But like, the problem is that it's just like, now it's like, doesn't matter who was or who didn't say anything. It's all just gets lumped together into, yeah, you were the racist season. It's like, well, I mean, yeah, but I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it's like an experiment. It's an experiment of like, this is what like, you know, putting everyone together from all walks of life is, you know. It's like, well, once we cure racism, maybe we won't have racists that appear on Big Brother, I guess. But I don't know. It's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's not good at all.
I bet they would still have it on, have people on who are racist, because it would make for interesting television.
Well, that's the other thing. The exploitation of like, oh, yeah, they exploited like, you know, them being racist for ratings, basically. It was like right before it was like Paula Deen said the N-word.
Yeah. That summer was also the George Zimmerman not guilty verdict summer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so like it was in the consciousness, and like we had like a content warning before our show or before our episodes, first time they ever did that. But I mean, like, I think it's obviously like good to show like, oh yeah, these are bad people and they said bad things. But at the same time, like, I definitely had a sick perverse love when you know, Les Moonves and Julie Moonves, like, they just started getting shit on recently because they threw us to the wolves. You know, like, not everyone was bad on that season, but we get attacked like we were all bad, yeah, you know, from the internet. And it's like, well, it was Julie and fucking Les, and like, they could have done anything to like protect us or get rid of the people that were, you know, causing the garbage. But yeah, no, it was like, it's exploitation. Like, yeah, that made ratings, baby.
Yeah. It's also, I wonder too, if now it's funny to say this because I don't think that, this sounds insane to say, but I think in 2013, people's consciousness of like how the internet will react to things was still like nascent. It wasn't really anywhere near where, which is, again, that was only like 8 years ago. That wasn't that long ago. But I do truly believe like people still didn't understand by and large that like, hey, if you say something like this on TV, it's gonna explode and be a big news story and be big all over the internet. You're gonna get shit on and dragged publicly, and which like isn't to say that people shouldn't, that it's not to say that that shouldn't happen necessarily. I wouldn't argue that, and it's not to say that people should say racist things, because they certainly shouldn't. But I do think that people who are probably racist now and appear on the show have enough self-awareness to be like, oh, I shouldn't say this in public. This isn't a thing that I should say in public.
1,000%. Yeah, it's one of those things. And like, you know, like the casting producer gets shit on where it's like, why did you cast racist people? And it's like, as if they went into the casting procedure and were like, well, I'm a avowed racist and, you know, I just hate a lot of them. And like, well, put this guy on.
Yeah.
Like, which is frustrating. And like, the other thing is like, yeah, it's all just so, you're right that people did not realize it. And like, the other thing is that it's like, I was like a 23-year-old kid, and I knew the season before that there was a guy that didn't wash his hands. This dude got just slaughtered on the internet because he didn't wash his hands, you know, and people would just look for it. And it's like, I was like, you guys, if you don't wash your hands, they're going to kill you. Like, you guys are out here saying like horrendous shit, you know?
Yeah, and, right.
The other thing about it is, like, a lot of the cast think they're the funniest ones in the room, you know? When everyone thinks they're the funniest ones in the room, everyone wants to, like, oh, here's this one, or let me, you know? It's all trying to impress each other, and it's weird, and, like, it very much becomes, like, high school, and that is what I like about Big Brother, is that it is, like, this microcosm. You can watch hamsters interact in high school. It's bizarre, but it's good to see, I guess, but I don't know. It's weird. I don't know how to. I have such a hate relationship with it.
I know what you mean. It's like, it's sort of like the, you know, you can't turn away from a car wreck sort of thing to some degree.
1,000,000%. And my season was that train wreck.
Like, yeah.
100%.
So to touch on a point that you mentioned earlier that I want to go back to, because I think you're absolutely right about when you mentioned that, you know, you feel like people are going to have this consciousness that reality TV, specifically, I think this type of reality TV, which kind of preys on, you're working with young people, right? Like, no one who's 38 is going to go on this show, and like, especially like this sort of show, or few and far between, maybe is how I would put it.
There's a lot of people that will try to apply. There's like a lot of older people that do apply, but for what, like, are the casting has definitely started to skew younger and younger and younger and younger. But yeah, they, like, for whatever reason, they don't want to have old people, obviously, because, you know, sex sells, but I don't know.
Because old people are uninteresting.
Basically. Well, I think they also have the opportunity. Well, there could be a variety of other things at play too, where you're ending up with weird sex stuff, and you know.
Oh yes, that did happen. They had a Korea veteran on five seasons before my season. They had a Korea veteran, and he was in his 70s when he went on, and like he was like mixing up. Like there was a huge like scandal where he like touched this girl's boob, but she said it was fine if he could touch it, and then everyone's like, he's got a wife at home, and like
I vaguely remember that too, now that you mention it. As someone who doesn't watch the show, I remember some of these controversies. I'm sure if you went through like season by season controversy, you'd be like, yes, I remember that. No, I don't remember
probably
that. Like see headlines or whatever. Yeah, you know,
100%.
But yeah, I do think that there's I think that these reality shows often will go with young people who are 18, 19, 20 to, you know, 24 or whatever. And it's like, you're just not really, you're kind of an adult with training wheels until you're
37. 30
for a lot of people.
Well, absolutely.
So I it's just a thing where you're making decisions that you might not otherwise make, or you might look back and be like, ooh, I wish I didn't do that, or I didn't, you know what I mean? And
oh yeah, it's one of those things I mean, even like the people in my cast where it's like, you know, I didn't say anything bad at all, but it's like, you know, a lot of the like, oh yeah, me and Amanda, the showman stuff, like it's like, oh yeah, looking back on it, like, man, wish I probably didn't do that, you know? Like,
well, there's 100% my so public
out
to
there, and
Like, it's all so public.
Oh,
so
really?
It's also just like one of those things where you have all this shit that's lives on for forever. Where, like, it's not outside the realm. I mean, most people have relationships when they're in their 20s and early 20s, especially, where maybe they don't want to look back on them with great frequency when they get into their 30s. But they're also not like captured forever with a million think pieces and pictures and everything on the internet.
No, it's like, oh yeah, my whole relationship when I was 23 is a narrative storyline on a TV show. Like, that's fucking weird. Now that I think about it, like, that is so fucking weird. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, is there a cutoff limit? Should you just like age? Like, you can't go on unless you're this age? I mean, I don't know. I think I was pretty, I guess the term would be woke now. But like back in the day, it was like, man, I'd go to battle with kids in my high school that would fly like the Confederate flag or whatever, you know? And it's just like, you guys are so dumb. Like, I don't know. I would just like constantly battle against that.
In like the Minneapolis suburbs, you're saying?
Like I was outside of Minneapolis, like about an hour and a half or so.
Okay.
Into the rural.
Sure.
You know,
I'm very familiar with Minnesota. So.
Oh,
yes.
Really? Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same,
I've been there.
Actually,
I've been there 14 times. It's the state I've been to most, where I have no family. Weird. Anyway.
That is.
So
we've both been there for work.
And we've both been there a lot over the years. But so basically, yeah, that's that makes sense then. But yeah, that you have the same thing. Like my wife finished high school in Maine. She her family moved to Maine when she was 17, so she did her junior and senior year in Maine. And like where she lives in Maine is like, you know, coastal Maine, fairly. It's like a regional high school, public school she went to, and there were like kids with like Confederate flags there too. And it's just
what are you doing? What are you doing?
Wild.
That is like insane to me. No, yeah, they had like a truck line where they all parked the trucks next to each other. Like, and that was like, that was my mortal enemies. Like, it's been ever since, you know. But that's the thing where it's just like, oh yeah, and then like our cast is mainly from the South. I'm not saying like, oh, the South, like whatever. But like, they were all kids that were like, would have been wannabe truck line kids, you know? Like, them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's tough. I mean, I think that's, you know,
bizarre.
You also, whatever. But yeah, do you have any regrets about going on the show? Do you feel like, do you wish that you didn't do it? Do you feel like are you glad you did it? Like, how are you feeling now that it's been, you know, 8 years?
The way that I always say, I basically, it was a Faustian deal with the devil. That's what I think. Is that, like, I made a deal with the devil to get on that show. And, like, it's just one of those things, Wishmaster, where it's just like, oh, yeah, like, you got what you wanted, idiot. Now look at it. It's just people harass you all the time. And, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, I mean, you know, there's a lot of great opportunities. And there's a lot of people that I met where it's like, I would have never, ever met this person. Or, you know, like, friends, alumni, whatever. So I can't regret that kind of stuff. But on the other hand, it's like, man, I don't know. I probably wouldn't be better off, but at the same time, it's like I'd probably have different headaches, I guess, is what I would say. You know, just different stressors that I'd have to deal
with. So yes. since you're trying to separate yourself from the show a little bit, does that mean that we have to stop this recording and delete everything and start over again?
Yeah, please. Please do.
No.
Now that we got that out of the way, that was the introduction.
Let's just, okay, intro's done. Let's not tempt fate there, because we did recently lose our first episode, our first lost episode, where it wasn't lost because the content was shaky and bad. So
I would re-record with you guys. I would do it for sure. Don't worry.
Great.
I
appreciate that. Great. Absolutely. Well, all right. Well, we're not going to have to re-record, because we're going to get to our next segment here. Let's play a game. As you both know, obviously, two of the great Americans around are, they have similar names. One of them is a neurosurgeon turned presidential candidate. The other is a actress turned activist. This game is called Ben Carson or Brie Larson. In just a moment, I will read a quote, and it's up to you to determine if the person who said the quote was Brie Larson or Ben Carson. McCray, you're playing head-to-head against Cy Fieri. Buzzing using your name. Do you understand the rules? You already apply. Cy, do you understand the rules?
Yes.
All right, here we go. All right, here we go. First one. Through hard work, perseverance, and a faith in God, you can live your dreams. Cy. McCray got in first.
That's a Ben Carson.
You are correct. Wow. 1-0, McCray. Good job. All right. So McCray, I'm just going to write that down. Here we go. Okay. Cy, if you want to get into the game here, I'm going to say, because it's
trying to get harder. My best.
Here we go. Next one. There is no job more important than parenting. This, McCray, I believe. Cy got in a little bit ahead. Cy.
Brie Larson.
That is Ben Carson, Cy. So you are at -500 for one.
I was
going to
say
answer.
Brie Larson also, so I would have been right there with you.
That's okay. Awesome. So it's
Chid, do you mind if I throw a little jab McCray's way to throw him off his game right now?
Sure.
McCray, I did look up your nudes since you said they were accessible on the internet.
You
and
find
I just
them?
Saw your I saw your penis. Yep.
Nice. No, Fine. That actually it gives me power. That's what you didn't realize. Actually, I say that all the time because it gives me power.
Well,
I mean, it's impressive. So, I mean, I get it.
Well, thank you.
I'd be confident if I were you.
Wow. Cy. Okay. Next one. Moving on. The same myths are told in every culture, and they might swap out details, but it's still the same story.
Cy.
Cy, go ahead.
Ben Carson.
I'm sorry, that's Brie Larson. For getting two in a row wrong, instead of losing 500, you're going to lose 1,000. So you're at -1,500 right now. So, Chris up one. It's 1 to -1,500. Okay. Next one. Here we go. My favorite subject was recess. Fortunately for me, I had a mother who believed I was smart. McCray, go ahead.
Ben Carson.
That is correct. Yes, it's Ben Carson. McCray, that was for 5,000 points. So you're at 5,001 right
this
now.
This is a blowout. Come on.
So it's 5,001 to -1,500 right now. Okay. Next one.
I need a Minnesota miracle.
I know how to have a conversation, but I've never done improv. I've never taken an improv class. Cy, go ahead.
Brie Larson.
Cy, you're correct. So that one is a right answer. So that gets you 5 points. So you're at -1,495 now. Okay. So you're coming back into it. You're getting there. Slow but steady. Here we go. When I look at the human brain, I'm still in awe of it.
Cy,
go ahead.
Ben Carson.
That's correct. Yes, that's Ben Carson. Wow, two in a row, so I'm going to give you a bonus on that. So you're at I'm going to give you 95 points for that. So you're at -1,400 now. Okay.
Thank you.
Here we go. So it's 5,001 to -1,400. McCray's still in the lead. Next one. Whenever you want something you're not going to get, suddenly the whiny three-year-old comes out in you. McCray, go ahead.
I'm going to say Ben Carson.
Oh, McCray, you were wrong. That is a Brie Larson quote.
It's okay. He'll probably still give you points for the wrong answer.
No, I'm not going to give him points for the wrong answer, Cy. But you are going to lose half a point for that wrong answer. So you're at 5,000.5 now. So you lost half a point for that wrong one. Okay, here we go. Next one. I'm so used to swimming with the piranhas, and they're not really that bad.
Cy,
go ahead.
Ben Carson.
Nope, that's Brie Larson also. A tougher game than you would have thought. But Cy, I can see your logic on that. So I'm only going to take away 5 points. So you're at -1,405.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, next one. And this one is for as many points as I decide after the person answers it.
Is this the final one? Is this the final question?
There's a couple left. Two left. So you can still get into it.
I'll just like walk you through my mindset. I'm like, I love gaming. I love being a gamer. I want to just shotgun it. You know, I want to just like call right in right now. McCray, I think this next one is going to be Brie Larson.
Okay. Calling a shot.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. 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 Wow.
Playing
wow,
to the wow. outfield.
Wow. Well, here's the quote, and we'll decide who it is after I read it. So McCray has introduced his own rule, which is going to cost him 1,000 points because I'm the game master here.
I
so
love
you're,
it. Let's
you're
go.
At 4,000.5.
Yeah. Getting closer.
But we'll see what you can earn if you're correct here. Here we go. My own personal theory is that Joseph built the pyramids to store grain. Now, all the archaeologists think that they were made for Pharaoh's graves. But, you know, it would have been something awfully big if you stop and think about it.
She's yeah, of course. She knows.
Sai,
go ahead.
That's 1,000% Ben Carson.
Sai, you're correct, but you're a little cocky with that, I have to say. So I was gonna give you 4,000 points, but I'm only gonna give you 1,000 points.
God damn it.
So Sai, you're at -405. McCray, you lose 1,000 points on that. All right. So you're at 3,000.5 to -405. Last one. And this one, you know, this could really decide the game here if Sai can get it right. Or, McCray, if you get it so wrong that, unfortunately, you lose all of your points. Here we go. For some reason, chewing gum, for me, gets my brain going.
Sai.
Go ahead.
Brie Larson.
Sai, you're correct. And that's going to get you 1,000 points. That gives you a score of 605. You are not the winner, though.
Sai wins.
You are the winner. 3,000.5. Wow, what a game. Wow.
Congratulations, McCray.
That was a really good game. I was thinking about shouting out Ben Larson. Isn't Ben Larson like the – I think he wrote maybe Green Dragon for – Icon comics? I don't know. I'm gonna stop talking.
That's okay.
Shout out to Ben Larson, whoever you are.
Yeah, that's not it. I don't know.
Shout out to Ben Larson.
Yeah,
there's a Gary Larson. He's the Far Side, right?
Yeah, Far Side. That's right. That'd have been a way. Yeah.
there's also Larry Barson. That's probably a person. I don't know.
Micah Parsons, the linebacker from Penn.
Yeah, Larry Barson is a steam fitter in Madison. I found him on LinkedIn. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Great game, though. That was great.
Yeah,
I love it.
Thanks. That. Thanks. Yeah, yeah, we're going to have really to get some quotes from Larry Barson and Gary Larson and play that game again. We really enjoyed that. That was nice. So we've come to the fifth and final segment of the show. This is a segment where you can plug anything you want to plug. McCray, do you have anything you'd like to plug this week?
I really, really, really don't. You know, check out all the good stuff that's happening wherever, I guess. I don't know. What's that, the Annals of Turd? I don't know. Like, all the bug cult stuff, go check out that stuff, because everyone's being way more creative and interesting and fun out there, so.
Yeah, the Annals of Turd it's not a Buzzcast podcast, but that's Chris Murphy's new show, I believe. And Chris Murphy, as we both know, all know on this show, is one of the funniest people alive.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Love having him in the group. Great guy to have around. Very funny. Everyone's doing great work. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
Buzzcast, you can get all that stuff. There's lots of great shows there. But, yeah, that's a fun new one.
That's the thing about this community is, like, it's so intimidating just because it's, like, everyone is so damn funny. And, like, I'm used to being around a bunch of people that want to be Instagram famous, you know? So it's like, it's easy to be like, oh, the witty motherfucker, you know? But like in this group, it's just like, Jesus Christ, I'm going to sit back and let everyone else be funny. Yeah. You guys all do great stuff.
Thanks,
yeah,
buddy. Well, I truly believe that what makes this community a fun community, the Bug Cult, Slurp Fam, and all the associated people is that I think it's really like a makers community, if I had to. It's kind of like just a group of people who all work in different mediums, who make stuff and have fun making it. There's visual artists. There's people who love baking and cooking and do great, like amazing stuff with food. There's people who are writers. There's people who are comedy people. There are people who make shows. There are people who make podcasts. I just think that everyone, there's like lots of talented people doing different stuff. And it's really cool that we all show up for each other and buy each other shit. And I don't know.
1,000%.
I just think it's really fun, and it's very much like we have a very funny, like expatriate kind of vibe of being in our own isolated universe here on the internet, and I love it. I think it's a lot of fun.
I do too.
And there's so many talented people, like you said. So thank you so much. And Sai, do you have anything you'd like to plug this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm helping a really close friend of mine get their podcast off the ground. They already have a couple episodes, so I've started to help them get it on different platforms. You can find them on Twitter.
It's Conan O'Brien. Oh, okay, sorry. Go ahead. Continue. You're
a dick. It's called Not Just a Vet Tech Podcast. You can find them on Twitter at Not Just AVT Pod. They had a really long name and I tried to shorten it there for them. But they have a couple episodes out. You can get to their podcast stuff wherever you listen to your podcast. If you go to their Twitter, there's a link to their Buzzsprout feed where you can listen to a couple episodes. It's a really good podcast with two very down to earth people who really care about animal advocacy. And they talk a little bit about, treating animals differently with not drugging them up when they go to the vet and stuff like that. It's a really interesting podcast and it's kind of out of left field. It's not something that we would normally talk about on this show, but it's really fun. They both have really vibrant personalities. Definitely worth a listen if you're into animal advocacy. Again, it's Not Just AVT Pod at Twitter, on the Twitters. Please check it out.
Thanks. Good. Thank you for plugging that. I will check that out. And, I this week I'm going to plug, of course, our old friend Alex Fierce, comic book Bird Person number one, which you can get. That's a Rick and Morty comic, and I think he's working on some new stuff. And I will also plug, of course, our friend Aaron Crow and his comic It Eats What Feeds It, which you can get the trade paperback edition of. I think you should get it because it's very good. I've also been reading some stuff lately, and I'm going to just very quickly plug reading books. I just think people should read books. Should find some books, read them, enjoy them. Any topic can be nonfiction, fiction. That's my medium, but fiction or nonfiction, history, reference, anything. You can
gastrointestinal books.
Anything. Yeah. And also, if you want to throw up, have a high in iron vitamin on an empty stomach, and you can throw up. It's very easy. You just have to do that. Easy way to go. So anyway, that's what I'm plugging this week. Of course, you can follow us. I'm at ChitspinSize, at SciFietti. McCray is at McCray. Is that true?
At on McCray the Twitter? Chum. At McCray
at Chum. At McCray Chum. Thank you. And shows at Rounding Down. So thank you so much. So for McCray, for Sci, for myself, for all of you out there who wanted to know that you could find McCray's nudes on the internet. and also
– he said it. I just looked it up.
Of course,
it
you
used
did.
To be on Pornhub too until they took off all the user submitted. I yes. All right, let's be done with this episode.
As always, fuck you. See you later.
Rounding Down's Butcher's Back Shed. Music by Corey Major.
This was a Buzzcast Network production. Bye.